Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Haven't done this yet. We actually have a book today that we just got done reading by Morgan Housel, and we're just going to talk about it a little bit because it applies to everything that we discuss at the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. Now, the book is The Psychology of Money, and if you want to talk about long-termism and the power of staying in your lane, this is the book for you, and Gino's done a great job of breaking this down, so I think I'm just going to turn it over to G-Daddy right now. Let him get into it, and then we're going to really break this sucker down for you.
I like when Jake turns it over to me, because when I read this book, I've struggled with money. I've struggled with my relationship with money, and everyone listening to this right now, ask yourself, let's be completely honest. What is your relationship with money? Do you feel as if you get more money, all of a sudden you feel guilty? Do you think rich people are greedy? You have to stop and think about what that relationship is to you, because our programming, the first 7 years of our lives, we go through the subconscious and we learn everything. It's a blueprint and it's ingrained in our minds. I've learned all of my money habits from my parents. Some of them were great. And some of them weren't so great. And I think this book really highlighted, hey, what is your relationship with that? I love what he says about money's intrinsic value. It's its ability to give you control over your time. That's all money is. It gives you control over your time. And Jake, what do people want?
For better or for worse, right?
Yes. People want to be happy. And I don't think people are happy by making more money. That's what we think. People are truly happy when they have autonomy over their lives, when they have control over their lives, when you say to yourself, you know what? It's Friday after Thanksgiving. Jake and Gino are getting up at 8:30 to record videos. Do we have to do that? No, but we want to do that. I'm happy doing that. I love doing that. Some of you may be saying, you guys are crazy. What's wrong with you two? But I want to work with Jake. I want to start my weekend off. I'm going to have an entire weekend off. But what a better way to wake up in the morning, record some podcasts, read a couple of books, and talk to Jake about real estate, about multifamily, about money.
We're doing stuff that we enjoy. This is not like, I got to go dig a ditch right now kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
It's different.
Yeah. And money makes you, does money make you happy? It doesn't make me happy. Money to me, I think, is just a result.
I think it can, because what it can do for you, the options that it can give you. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, what's a big thing for me is security, right? Knowing that my next meal is not going to be an issue, knowing that I'm going to be warm at night in a bed, like some of these basic creature comforts, mm-hmm. and knowing that that's a lock, you don't gotta, mm-hmm. cause sometimes, you know, America is great, but you know, everybody's got a house and a TV for the most part. And we don't need to get into that conversation, but I think if you apply yourself in the United States of America, very reasonable to have a decent job, have a home, an apartment home, whatever, you know, TV, cable, food, all this sort of stuff. If you apply yourself, and that's knowing that that stuff is taken care of, like money can do that for you. And that means a lot, right? Mm-hmm. That is the baseline for me, but that's very important.
And I've got experience about what I just asked you, why you weren't happy. It's not like that I wasn't happy at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I enjoyed parts of the restaurant, but the real reason why I was unhappy at the restaurant is because I didn't have autonomy over my time. I didn't have autonomy over a lot of the decisions that I had to make. I had to stay in New York. I had to work Tuesday through Sunday.
Everything was tighter than it had to be.
Yes.
Your finances were tighter. Your time was tighter. Everything was tighter. Your autonomy was tighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem.
And with what's going on recently with me for the last few years, I can do what I want with who, whenever, and wherever. And that
let that sink in for a second.
Yes.
That autonomy, like, and here's the other thing too. You know me, like I've had bosses before. I've tried to be a good employee when I had bosses, but there's something about my, like, I'll call it my chemical imbalance, right? I struggle being told what to do. I just do. I there's probably a million things that would be better for me than if you just sat there and gave me a very clear direction. I can take it. I don't know why it tweaks me out. It mm-hmm. just does. So for me, multifamily has given me the opportunity to go out there and create my own life, my own world for myself. And that is invaluable.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing from Jake is his happiness is that he craves and he wants that autonomy over his time.
The freedom is huge for me.
It's freedom. So
you can't put a price on it.
My happiness is coming from being able to donate. We have Rand Cares. I've got an orphanage down in Guatemala. I do a lot of work with the Friars. I'm able to bring people here on vacation. We're actually doing a fundraiser in February where I'm fronting all the money for the fundraiser, whatever we collect. I'm able to donate that. I love coaching. I love creating the Jake and Gino community. I love to have a company that feels like a company like Jake and Gino, where I can have employees. I'm not worrying about the bottom line. I'm not worrying about the profitability every single month, right? That's not my main focus. And I'm having the ability to be able to save money, you know, to pay these bills without having stress. It's so awesome when I get a bill from the dentist for $5,000 for one of my kids' dental teeth. And I'm like, okay, that's all right. Whereas 10 years ago, I'd be stressing about it, but now I don't have to stress about it. That's what I think,
like,
money.
Do we really need to do that full procedure? Can we do like half of it? Are they going to get through with half of it? Right. You start negotiating that. Right?
I mean, how much for Invisalign? Seriously. I mean, really that much for Invisalign, but now it's like, you know what? It's another one of those.
I think you're quoting too much filling there. I think we could get by with like 75% of it, right? Can you knock that down a little bit?
Dude, glasses, seriously? Yeah. Contacts, seriously? And
you're not doing contacts when you can do the glasses, all right? Let's not be frivolous. Right?
And Jake, cleaning ladies, we got to get the cleaning ladies every week now. And now singing lessons and now gymnastics. And for me, it was always a constant stress because I was trying to use those, as Jake likes to say.
You were being responsible. It was.
Yes, I was trying to use those.
Coming in.
Yeah. I was trying to use those baby money soldiers to build a business, right? But now that I look back, we're financially free. I don't have to worry about those bills as much. And that's all I really wanted money to allow me to do. I don't need to go out and buy all the toys and all that. I just
want to be a provider, but you don't want to stress about every, you know, nickel that's going out the door.
Yes,
right?
I agree. Yeah. And you know, I have something written down here that's really, really important. And in the book, you know, Morgan talks about it. Investments should support your happiness. You know, I don't want to have personal debt. I didn't want to have personal debt. And now I don't have personal debt. My investments have allowed me to knock that off. Most people say, you know what? It's great. Lever up your house, get car debt. I don't want that. Some listeners may want that. There's nothing wrong with that. Once again,
it goes
what
back
is your
to
relationship?
That security component that we talked about in the same way. Yeah.
I have a long-term time horizon. With Psychology of Money, they talk about that. What is your comfort level? Are you a transactional person? Or are you like equity for the long term? Understand where you are. And I'm not saying there's any right or wrong, but from my experience, having that longer term time horizon and having that good relationship with money will allow you to become financially free. And
stay there for a second, Gino, because my biggest takeaway from the book was when they were talking about Berkshire Hathaway, talking about Buffett, talking about the power of compounding. And the way they really described it in the book was that one of the reasons that they were so successful was the amount of time they stayed in that same business, and they kept going back to the basics with it, and they didn't veer. They didn't say, hey, you know, we're going to get into, you know, some other type of strategy here. No, they had a very sound strategy, and they duplicated it over time. And it was the time in that lane that allowed them to become so wealthy. And that's really so applicable to what we do in multifamily investing. We've seen it ourselves that if you stay in your lane, you commit to a vehicle such as multifamily, and you get really good at it, over time, that's when the real wealth creation starts to take place. Whether it's debt pay down, whether it's acquisitions, whether it's refinances, whatever it is, all the tax benefits. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take a little bit to get into it, and then it's going to take a few years to ramp it up. But then once that snowball, and they even I think in one of Buffett's books is called The Snowball, when that snowball, that flywheel, whatever you want to call it, gets rolling, that's when it gets interesting. I'm going to tell you right now, probably 95 to 99% of the people on this podcast right now listening, the biggest thing that you've struggled with or are struggling with is time on the job. Not time in your W-2 job, time committing to an investment vehicle or an entrepreneurial venture and sticking with it long enough to really reap the rewards that it can give you. And that's what this book talks about. And they back it up with data. And that's why I love this book.
And I think the last thing I'd say about investments is I don't want to retire. I'm not saving money in a 401k or a pension plan to retire because I will never retire. My idea is to buy these assets to pay for those events. And I'm going to give you some stats in the book that blew me away. In 1880, participation rate for people working over the age of 65, 78% of the population was working. whatever ended up happening is Otto von Bismarck in the 1880s decided to say, hey, you know what? You have to retire at 65. And the reason why he did that is he thought that that would create jobs for younger people.
That shit's coming down. That's going to be start. They're going to start calling that ageism.
People, I hope it does.
You're 100.
I hope it does, because you shouldn't stop working at 65. You should become still be a productive member of society. In 2000, 18%. Was the participation rate over 65 years of age. In 2010, that bumped up because of the Great Recession to 22%. I don't want to retire at 65 and say I'm done. I am just getting really good at this investing thing. I'm getting good at coaching. I'm getting good at impacting people's lives. So check what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you now.
Even look at, isn't like Grant Cardone like 65? Guy's started crushing it like in the last couple of years. I think he's like in his mid 60s. He didn't start really, you know, that rocket ship that propelled him probably to the last 3 years or something like that. Think about that.
Yes.
And Buffett's in his 80s or whatever. Like,
and in the book, Jake, don't they say that Warren Buffett, I think, what was it, $61 billion of his $65 billion net worth was created at, it was
like the last 5 years or something like that?
It's amazing. Yeah. I forgot what the stat was, but
Jake talks about long-termism.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think the big question that this book really shared with me and made me think about is, when is enough, or how much? I think we should all ask that ourselves on this.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope with the way this government's printing money, Gino, right? Well, inflation.
Let me ask you a question, Jake. What happened to this crypto guy? I know Jake loves about crypto, but he should have asked himself, when is enough?
He's kidding for the folks that don't listen. Yeah. So no, my whole thing with crypto was I don't know. I don't understand it well. And I've referenced Buffett a million times, but he said, you know, it all depends on what the next guy's willing to pay for. And if one person owns all the crypto, its value is zero, because it's dependent on someone paying more for it to ride it up. And I don't fully understand. I get the idea of how quickly it can be exchanged and this, that, and the other thing. I understand multifamily. That's my lane. And for me, I like to really execute on that. And that's why I never got into it. But yeah, as you can see, there's someone just pumped in $1 billion to prop up the crypto market the other day because they're worried it's going to go away. I remember going back to 2021, 2020, crypto was all the rage. We had people on our team members were picking on me because I wasn't involved and I wasn't getting to it. Look, I didn't know it was going to collapse. I just didn't understand it well enough, so I avoided it. Right. So that, you know, makes me look, I guess, smart now or whatever, but I don't know.
Well, Jake, that's your relationship with money. You have a certain understanding where you want control. Yes. And for you, thinking about putting
money. That's why I don't invest with other CEOs, right?
That's right. Exactly. You're not in the stock market either. You're not in a 401k because you don't have control of your money in a 401k. You don't have a 529 plan because you don't have control in those vehicles. So as we're talking about the show, what is your psychology
with
money?
We don't want our baby money soldiers with handcuffs on them. We want them to be free ranging assassins, right? Mm-hmm. We're not putting them in jail.
And what I would say to everybody, listen to this, think about where you were 10 years ago and your thoughts about money, your thoughts about the economy, your thoughts about entrepreneurship. I know 10 years ago, I had vastly different ideas. And I don't want to say I'm embarrassed to think of the person that I was 10 years ago, but a lot of the thoughts, I thought money.
You should be very proud of that growth. There's nothing.
Yes. Now that I look back, but I thought I needed money. I thought money was my problem. Money wasn't the problem. It was my mindset and it was my desire.
It was your personal growth. Yeah.
Yes. And then thinking about the money is the opportunity. Money is the result, right? And now Jake and I are not chasing money. We're chasing opportunity. And from that opportunity, you create money and you create wealth. That's what we've been able to learn. But from my paradigm from 10 years ago, completely different. And I think what this book really does is it's more of a coaching book. For everyone has their own paradigm, their own thoughts on money, where they were raised, who their parents were. And when you look at it, people who are raised in a wealthy household, who have parents who are wealthy, who have done certain things, they see their parents doing that and they mirror that. And you can see it from parents who are in a lower household who don't have as much money, do certain things. And those children see that. We can break that cycle, but most of us aren't aware of that. We just take those tendencies that we've learned subconsciously and continue to propel that forward into our lives. And this book, once you read it, you're going to say to yourself, well, why have I been doing that? Challenge yourself as you're reading this book. There's nothing right or wrong, but I guarantee you, if you start working on yourself, you'll look back 5 years from now and go, wow, I am not that person at all that I was 5 years ago.
Yeah. And they to really package it up into a framework, wealth creation takes time. We talk about squatting, getting the snowball rolling, becoming an expert in one area, being hyper-focused. If you're going to be in multifamily, go ahead. If you want to invest in crypto, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just saying I like to share what's worked for us and you know what they've alluded to in this book. Become an expert in one area, like Buffett. Spend less than you make, okay? We were joking before the show, something like 80%, 87% of my income actually goes to being reinvested now. It's just...
It wasn't that 10 years ago, everybody.
It wasn't even close, right? But that's just what we're doing now, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, again, that's just my personal decision. And then this is Gino's baby right here. Save to invest in an asset, okay? The asset will pay for the liabilities down the road. Do not save for an event. Save for an asset.
And what does Jake mean by that? When I was going through the restaurant and I would take my income that I earned and I would put it into a 401k, I would put it into a 529, and I was saving for my kids' college. I was saving
handcuffs for on my the retirement. Baby money soldiers. Okay?
Exactly.
Putting them in jail.
And then my first iteration was, oh, I need to start putting money into a whole life policy. And a lot of people out there say, well, why would you do that? You're handcuffing yourself. No, actually, I'm liberating my baby money soldiers, and they're doing multiple functions. They go into the whole life policy. It's a cash management strategy. They're getting protected in there. If I need them, I can borrow the cash value out. I've done it multiple times. I've actually collateralized the cash value, and there's a death benefit. So I'm actually helping myself up with estate taxes as well. So for me, it's just a complete shift, whereas people are like, oh, I'm going to buy a term and invest the difference. Well, first of all, 99% of term policies expire, which is good because that means you're still alive. But at the same time, you're flushing money down the toilet. And as Jake and I like to say, we want to buy whole life. We don't want to rent it. And that's what it's all
about. We want to own it.
We want to own assets. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. And the psychology of money has showed me that for me, that Jake and I, we want to control, we want to buy these assets, and we want to continue to invest in the assets. And more importantly, invest in ourselves, invest in our education, and invest in our personal growth.
You know, great stuff today, gang. If you want to find out more, work with one of our team members on our strategies for personal financial engineering, feel free to visit 100yearrei.com. It's 100rei.com. And as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.